Welcome in, everybody. It's All Pro Lines, the podcast. Thanks for joining us. We're glad you're here. Happy Halloween. Doing a little bit early today because of the holiday. We got our friend Glenn Grizzard's going to come in here and talk to us about life and moving and football and fantasy and things. It's always fun to report on the NFL. Are the Niners for real? Maybe. Are the Seahawks for real? Are the Falcons for real? That's actually the title of an article on NFL.com right now. That's inconceivable. Falcons are in first place. Why would they do that? That seems ridiculous. And yet, there they are. Tom Brady's losing. Marcus Mariota's winning. Whee! That's always fun. We had a lot to talk about. The Raiders definitely suck. And Texans are terrible and some other terrible teams. And there's how many great teams are there? Is it two? Is it just Eagles and Bills? And then like close third place Chiefs? I think it's something like that, right? Thanks for listening, everybody. And for those of you who came to watch on Facebook Live, you can do that every Monday at around, at exactly 7 p.m. Eastern. Except today, because we're early, because of we got to go trick-or-treating. There's a tiny child in my life. We got to take her out early. So that'll be fun. Jerry Oliver already in here. Boo! Ron Milford, Bill Horner, thanks for joining us, guys. Thanks for coming along. Let's dive in. Let's do some jokes. Let's see. We got some get some music we could play for that. Oh, I turned it down. Oh, we got to play it again. Too many. Yeah. All right. You know what we're going to do? We're going to loop it. Then we're going to hear it again. That's what we're going to do. And you're going to like it. Don't forget liking it.
The 2 minute drill.
The Falcons are number one. What is this, April? What's happening? This week, the Falcons are dressing up as a playoff team. I think that's what's going on. The division is not good. They're the top of the bottom, which is not something that you should say too loud in rural Georgia. Falcons in first place. Not even Calvin Ridley had money on that. Speaking of unearned wins, hats off to the Falcons. That's for my buddy Eric Schaus. It's a good joke. DJ Moore took off his helmet to celebrate the would-be winning touchdown. They got a penalty, missed the extra point. Who drew up that play? The Marx Brothers? The Falcons won because the Panthers were falconing their way to a loss. That's what happened. You could say the Panthers went dressed as the Falcons this week. The Falcons, by the way, are paying Matt Ryan a giant pile of money to not play for them this season. And the Colts are now paying Matt Ryan to not play for them, too. Hey, if somebody wants to pay me to not tell jokes, give me a call. I'm available. Can we pay Congress not to work for a while? Wait, I think we already are. Okay. Is Giselle going to snack a new quarterback here at the trade deadline? She should pick Matt Ryan. He's plenty available to hang with her children on Sundays. If she really wants to piss off Tom, she should date a pass rusher. Actually, you know, nobody has done more Tom Brady jokes over the years. Maybe I'm the perfect rebound for Giselle, right? A couple glasses of wine. I tell her some Brady jokes, right? Come on, Giselle. His diet is so strict, he can't lick his own bloody lip. These are the classics. Then we hook up, and when I climax, I yell 28-3, and it's like this whole cathartic thing for everyone, mostly me. If Giselle took half of the team's losses, they would still suck. This team's not good. This is the year we've been predicting for 7 years where Tom Brady just falls off a cliff. Is it actually happening? Is the team just terrible, or does Tom get old? Is his life too complicated? He can't focus on football. Whatever it is, it's mighty enjoyable. Who's Tom Brady missing more this week, Giselle or Gronk? He's also usually without Julio Jones. In Julio's birth announcement, well, there's a little red Q next to his name. I'm just curious. That guy's guy's hurt a lot. Tom Brady, now the most sacked quarterback of all time, which is a good time to bring back this little ditty. Brett Favre, still the only quarterback to ever deliver his own sack. Huh? You know who loves sacks the most? Andy Dick. The Lions announced they're building a statue of Barry Sanders. Seems weird to have a statue of a guy so elusive, right? You should do a hologram of Barry Sanders. Every time you think you got him, you come up empty. Like, oh, I thought I had a statue of Tom Brady. That makes sense. He's about as elusive as the real Tom Brady, right? It's about the same. The Barry statue should be him signing his retirement papers early because the Lions suck. It's just him like crouching down all bronze and shit, writing a thing. A statue. Is it an honor to be a Lion for eternity? Is that really what you want? The NFL should do Barry a favor and put his statue outside of the stadium of a good team. Then he can tailgate a playoff game once in a while. That would be nice. Saints beat the Raiders 24-0. That's the Hollywood good guys versus bad guys right there. Saints, Raiders, right? But in the movies, the bad guys are a threat at some point. Hey, at least the Raiders kept crashing and burning on the field. Instead of, okay, that's a joke I can't do on radio. The Raiders are like a skinny white girl. No booty. You'd think they could at least pillage a field goal or something. Their offense spent less time on the field than most streakers. Ladies and gentlemen, I need a rim shot machine in here. The Raiders treated the goal line like they're a dog with a shot collar. No, don't go over there. Bzzzt. The only Raiders Super Bowl this year will be the one on Mark Davis's head to cut his hair. The Raiders' effort was like ordering a double Whopper, large fries, and a Diet Coke. Pointless. So that was from Kevin Wilson. You see, that was on Facebook. You got to join us on the All Pro Lines social media accounts. Hey, this one's from Alan Jeanette. The Raiders are so bad, they're thinking of firing Josh McDaniels and bringing in Frank Caliendo as John Gruden. That's a good image. It's a good joke. Let's close on this one. The early favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year, Kenneth Walker. Offensive Rapper of the Year, pretty much settled. That one, I think we're pretty sure we know who that one is. Okay. All right, let's check in on the comments. We'll say hello to a few folks, and we'll bring in Glenn. Oh, Heather. Heather says, great pumpkin shirt. Thank you, man. Hey, Marge Economopoulos in here, checking out the pod. Appreciate it, Mom. Jerry Oliver, who will have more L's for the South Division, NFC or AFC South? Is that a joke? Am I misreading it? It's a cold read, Jerry. Sometimes I can't understand it with a cold read. I need some time. All right, let's bring in the. We're glad you guys are here. Thanks for joining us. Let's bring in the. Let's bring in our guest, our esteemed guest. You know him, you love him. He did the Falcon retrospective. He's one of my good friends from back in the beginning of time. He does the drops on the show. There he is, Glenn Grizzard, everybody.
Hello, everyone. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, man. No Falcons hat today? You're not flying the flag with the – you're not buying in? Is it for real?
I'm still trying to recover from those last 5 or 10 minutes of that game. It was a little bit much. A little much for them.
I was at a Halloween thing with small child. I missed it all, which is probably best for me.
Oh, my God. It was gut-wrenching. It was like there was no way we were going to win. It was so obvious that we were going to find a way to lose that game. And again, we're back to, do we even want to win? I thought we were trying to lose.
It's so funny. It's the 1 year I've completely committed to rooting for them to lose, and they're blowing it.
We're going to go like 8-9. And that's right. Get a wild card?
That's right. Yeah. You're going to lose to the Titans in the first round, something like that. You play the good team when you're the shitty team. You're going to lose to the, it's going to be the Niners or somebody smashing.
We get the Eagles right off the bat. Yeah,
it'll be the Eagles or Rams or something. Yeah.
As our old history of the Falcons told us, the Eagles were always there to squash our dreams in the playoffs. So they make a habit of it.
Well, as long as we're there, are they for real? Are they as good as we think they look?
I was just watching the highlights again, and Jalen Hurts puts the ball where he wants to put it. He's got time to throw the ball, and he's got the best receivers in the league.
And he could just run it whenever that doesn't work out.
I mean, A.J. Brown, I mean, I can never keep up with which Brown is which and which one is.
He's the big one. Yeah. He's
the Tennessee guy.
He and Metcalf went to the same school together. They're that picture with the muscles and the washboard stomachs.
Well, I didn't know him much this weekend.
He's huge. Yeah, AJ Brown's for real. He's good.
If their defense holds together, their offense is going to keep scoring. Another 35 points this week. 156 yards on 6 catches for 3 touchdowns for Brown.
That's a pretty good stat line. That's a very Brown stat line, actually. He doesn't get a lot of volume. He's not like the possession guy, but man, he's DK-ish. He catches it and he's big and scary and strong. Yeah, man. All right. So talk to me. A lot of life has happened. So you and I went on a crazy road trip. Loved it. Ran around, enjoyed life. And then you've had a lot of things change since then. You moved.
So I went to work in a town called Charlotte. And the job was all right. I'm a middle school teacher by trade, and I went in there and took this job as a 4th grade to 6th grade teacher at a Montessori public school. And I am not a 4th grade teacher. Things come into my mind that you can say in front of a 7th and 8th grader, but you can't say in front of a 4th grader. And you know how, if I have a flaw, it is that I will say things that come into my mind if they are, help me out here, Kostaki, if they are what?
Inappropriate?
No. Funny.
If they're funny,
then I will say them.
I'm stuck on the word if that you threw out there. If I have a flaw.
So 4th graders are not ready for the Glen. It's just not a good mix. I'm constantly on edge. You know what I mean? I'm always like, what am I going to say the wrong thing?
But this wrong thing for 4th graders is somehow acceptable when they're 7th graders?
Yes. I mean, it is really mostly falls into the realm of sarcasm. Because you can't say sarcastic things to 8th graders.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
You cannot say sarcastic things to 4th graders.
They understand adult attitude is what you're saying. Okay.
Yes, and you're actually trying to help them out and get there.
Okay, but, all right.
So my friend Jeff, and he was in Asheville at Asheville Middle School, and he was like, well, we got a job open for a gifted teacher here. And I'm like, I just got to Charlotte. I probably shouldn't leave just yet. But, God, Charlotte sucks. I always knew Charlotte sucked. I mean, I hate if we got listeners out there that just love Charlotte to death. But, God. It is one box after another. It is one generic strip mall after another. It is there's no town to it. Asheville. I'm living in downtown Asheville now. I'm looking out the window at downtown skyscrapers and not skyscrapers. They're like 20 stories here, but it's so much better. And you know, everything's just kind of fallen into place to get a new fresh start when I was just trying to get over Key West in the first place. So.
Right. Yeah. You've had a lot of changes.
Yeah. But this is almost back to where I started. I mean, Boone is 2 hours up the road, and that's where I raised my kids for 25 years.
Right.
Freezing my ass off.
But Asheville's, give me a size comparison. It's much bigger than Boone.
It is way bigger than Boone, way smaller than Charlotte. I mean, it's a college town. It's got a college, but not a college of any consequence, but it's very college towny without the college. I mean, it's very Blacksburg.
It's resorty for people who come from Atlanta to get away for the weekend.
Yeah, you got the Grove Park Inn where we had a good time one time. Kostaki was playing, opening for Mr. Don Rickles at the Grove Park Inn in Asheville one time for over 1,000 people, which at the time was probably one of your biggest crowds you'd ever played in front of.
Yeah, I would take it now.
And we were staying in the Macaulay Culkin suite. At the Grove Park Inn, because that's the room he stayed in when he filmed Richie Rich there.
What?
When Macaulay Culkin filmed Richie Rich at the Biltmore Estate, they stayed at the Grove Park Inn, and he stayed in what is now the Macaulay Culkin suite, which is where we spent the night that night when you were opening for Don Rickles.
Wow. Yeah, that place, I think they still do comedy. They do some crazy thing where they do one weekend a year out of the blue, they just like bring in like 7 comics and do a big, like 2 or 3 nights of comedy. Yeah, I worked with Rickles a couple of times. You remember Dan Kaufman? You know Dan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dan Kaufman is like a family friend of Rickles. And he was working the big room when Dan and I were working the little tiny room in Atlantic City one time. And I was on stage and Rickles was down the hall in the big theater. And I was like, why are you people in here? Rickles is right over there. And we finished the show and ran down and saw most of his set. And then afterwards, like, we went and hung out with him backstage, and he knew Dan by name. Like, he was like a, he was like his buddy's kid. Like, he knew him a little bit from a distance. And so we got to hang and chat with him a little bit. He was exactly what you want him to be, like warm and pointed and sharp and hilarious and ancient.
Did he die?
Yeah, he finally.
I couldn't remember if he died or not.
He was around forever. He had no business being that good at comedy at that age. Was,
I mean, and he was edgy. Edgy in a time when edgy meant something. I mean, he was edgy against, like, I mean, he was right there. I mean, it's just like when you're working with fourth graders. You just, you got the funniest thing to say, and you can just slide it in there safely.
Yeah, you want to do racial comedy with fourth graders.
Yeah, we'll put, throw a little Rickles on it, so it's okay. Everybody likes you.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, I'm glad you're settled. We had a good time. Tell me about Athens. I wish I could have gone.
Oh my goodness. We had one of those wild weekends where all the boys and girls come back to Athens for the Georgia Auburn game.
Oh.
And yeah, it was exactly what you expect, but it's the 52-year-old version now. It's a little quieter. It's not quite as many injuries, though I did fall out of the bunk bed and hurt my chest, and it still hasn't quite recovered yet. So
I heard tell of this. Please give me your version.
First of all, I should not be in a bunk bed. Why was I ever allowed into being a top of a bunk bed anyway? So,
well, you don't pick the people based on their risk factors.
Well, somebody should figure that in, because there have been incidents in Athens before, if you might recall, that I have gone home injured through no fault of my own, as usual. But based on, you know, just circumstance.
So you had a few adult beverages and rolled out of bed to go pee, and then there wasn't a floor there?
I didn't remember it happening. Oh, Jenny and Mike were in the room. Jenny remembers a loud thud in the night and some stumbling about, but she couldn't give us any more details than that. So based on my CSI investigation, I feel like I went out of bed like it was a regular bed. And it really is. If you've ever walked out of a bunk bed straight down to the floor, you know it is not like getting out of a regular bed. And there's a couch down here with Kurt Green on it, an old friend of the show. He's asleep on that couch, and it's a very hard back on the couch. And I go straight off the top bunk onto the back of that couch. Is what I've been able to put back together based on my very slow healing process and what starts to hurt less and less. So, just typical Georgia, Georgia Auburn.
Good fun. Yeah. Did you crack ribs? Do I have to move you down in my fantasy rankings?
I think it's a bruised sternum was my biggest problem. Okay. And then a lot of bruising in my breasts area.
Oh, you have contusions. That's
yes, the word but luckily I had enough goop going in there. Just slow good. It down a little bit.
Yeah, that's good.
You would have done better than me, probably.
Oh, okay, nice. I might not have fallen out of a bunk bed.
You might not have. I mean, that is more my kind of thing. It is my repartee.
Marge chimes in. Don Rickles was not warm. Well, when you're backstage, you can drop the character. He's just an old guy who's nice to comics. You know what I mean? That was what I mean. But yeah, his shtick was not warmth. That's, although I have to say, I was surprised his show was, I guess if I had thought about it, I could have figured it out, but it was a lot of schmaltzy, like he's singing songs about loving America and it's a Vegas-y kind of a thing, right? So the jokes weren't the whole show. It was a lot of other things too.
But a lot of people are going to see that. I mean,
he's
Rat Pack adjacent. If he's not, I mean,
that's where he got famous. He would bust Sinatra's balls over stuff. That was kind of, you know, like
the famous story. He was the one that could.
The famous story about Rickles was the one that I always remember. There's a zillion of these, but there's the one that I always think is he was like hitting on a girl, and he asked Frank, like, in a different space, like, could you just come over, just say hi, just, you know, just come over and let her see that I know you. That's all. Just like, just 1 minute. That's all I ask. And then Frank comes over to do him this favor, and he stands up and goes, Frank, can't you see I'm with people?
I don't think we ever really got the whole Frank Sinatra thing. I think he was pretty much done by the time we came along. We got the Joe Piscopo version of him, but he was the stud of all studs. I mean,
right, of that era, yeah.
Pre-Elvis, yeah. About the same contemporary with Elvis, about the only one that was hanging with that same level. Right?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know.
I watched that Elvis movie. It was fun. I mean,
yeah, me too. I went with my kid. I was surprised I enjoyed it. There's no story.
No, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's rocking out. It's a Beatles movie.
It's the movie version of a documentary. It's kind of fun to see Tom Hanks as a bad guy ish.
That was weird. That was a weird character. I mean, I think Colonel Tom was a weird character. So I think, of course, as usual, he played it perfectly.
Yeah, he nailed it. Right. That's how he does. All right. A fantasy trade. You and I made a fantasy trade. We're in a league together. Our old league. We've been in Georgia Roots football has been going on for, it probably doesn't start with a three, but it's damn close. It's not 30 years, but it's 25.
I know there was a 1993. Really goes back into all the way back to 93, 94, 95.
And you guys did a few years of, you had Marshall Faulk and Kurt.
Me and Mike did it in Boston. Me and Mike did it. And we all did it in Austin. That was the same league.
And then my first player out of the newspaper. Edger and James, you dropped him because it was a two keeper league at that time.
And I had Warner and Faulk.
That's right. You had to pick between two of those three. And you let Edgerin go, and he was my first pick, and I had him for years. He was amazing.
Yeah, that was your expansion year into the league.
That's right. So that league's been around forever.
And over the course of that time, we did make a huge trade before where I had Reggie Bush coming in my first-round draft pick, and you had Reggie Wayne as your top keeper, and we swapped those two. And that was like made my team for the next 5 years, and Reggie Bush ended up at Wendy's.
It's a bit of an exaggeration, but I will concede to you that you won that trade because your team, it just gelled with your team, and Reggie ended up being fine, but not the superstar that we had all thought he could be. So yeah, you won that trade for sure. Okay, so we just had a big trade. This is not a league that does a lot of trading, but it is a keeper league, and so you can. You know, I had Calvin Johnson for every snap of his NFL career. I drafted him before he played, and I had him. You know, every single all the way through. It's kind of fun to find a stud and hold on to him for a decade. And so you and I just made a kind of a blockbuster trade by our standards, right?
Because I thought I was getting a guy that was going to be that Calvin Johnson, and the Falcons decided to use him as poorly as I've ever seen a weapon used in history. So Kyle Pitts was my number one draft pick, number one overall, because I was last place going into the draft. So I had first round pick, and that was number one first round pick after the five keepers were taken out by 12 teams.
Right. So you had Kyle Pitts from the year prior. You kept him for this year. And of course, the Falcons are down 21-0 to the Bengals. And they're like, you know what we should do is run the ball and see if we can use 8 minutes. They're continuing to run the ball even when it makes no fucking sense whatsoever. My team was starting to really suck. I was 0-3 this year. So I started looking around like, is there a way I could trade something and have somebody that be excitable about next year? And your team was surprisingly crazy great to start the season. You got some
also coming off last place 2 years in a row.
Saquon Barkley and Lamar Jackson and Stephon Diggs, your team's like poised to win now. So I propose to you, I give you TJ Hockenson, right, to fill in your tight end spot. And I give you Mike Evans, who's been one of my keepers, one of my favorite players forever. He can help you win now. I can't win now. So I take Kyle Pitts, and I can have him, if it works, for, you know, 7, 8, 9 years, maybe. I knew this wasn't going to be the year, not with this offense, but they get a better quarterback. They get a different coach long run in fantasy. I feel like it's a win-win. Your team's gotten better and my team is weirdly gotten better because of some other things that are going on. But Kyle Pitts is going to be fine, just not this season. That's my
tip. I don't know if he's going to be fine in Atlanta. I could see him. I mean, like they don't even know what they're doing with him. He should touch the ball 10 times a game at minimum.
At minimum, yeah. He's definitely got the skills to be a Travis Kelce.
And line him up on the outside. Line him up in the backfield. Brock Bowers him. Is anybody watching Georgia?
We can
show you how to use a tight end.
Right,
He is Brock Bowers quality. He's like the only other one out there. Tony Gonzalez in his prime and Travis Kelce.
No, I totally agree. I think he's got all the potential to be a superstar, and he's in a system that it's all high T. Let's show everybody we can run the ball every down for no reason. I think that'll change over time. I don't think it's a sustainable system.
Well, I'd love to see Cordarrelle come back and you know, do what he's been doing and take us to a 10-7 and, you know, not embarrassing entry into the playoffs. But
right.
I don't think we're going to the playoffs. The defense is just not good
enough. It's just going to be disappointing either way. You don't even want to go to the playoffs. But it would be fun to beat Tom Brady in the division and ruin his last year in the NFL. That's
Explain what happened to Deion Jones. What happened to him?
They traded him.
Well, yeah, but I mean, why was he ever on the block? He was our heart of our defense. Was it just expensive?
I think he was expensive, and when you get into a spot, Andreas explained this to me a little bit. He's a better one to ask, but I think what happened was he ended up being more expensive than you want sort of in the long run, and he's a useful thing now, so he has some value. So you can get some value back and offload the money. And then when you're rebuilding next year, you're going without him, which I
mean, you're in first place and don't have a defense.
I know but if they can win now, they got $40 million tied behind their backs that they're paying Matt Ryan and Julio Jones.
It's a crappy division right now. I mean, we are in the lead of the worst division.
It's easily the worst division. The Falcons are at 500 and have clear first place. There's no reason for them to be at 500. Although they were in the game with the Rams that Andreas and I went to.
San Francisco is also 4-4. Maybe we're just as good as that San Francisco team.
No, that's not. No. The San Francisco team was like crazy beat up and injuries everywhere. And now they're getting back together. And they added Christian McCaffrey. That team's set to win now. Hmm. And if it boasts well, and they're going to be fine.
I was putting my bet out there. Did you want to segue into some kudos?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see here. Taps on the back. Taps on the back. Taps on the back. Taps on the back. This is our only drop that doesn't feature you.
Yeah, I could have gotten in there. I think it would have meshed well with Akib.
It would have been great.
I've often really, you know, I do a lot of mashups on some of my rap tracks.
And, is that right?
So.
All right, I'll do kudos to the Bills. They're the first team. It feels like forever. They're the first team that just seems completely unstoppable this year. You know, like, I feel like when we were kids, there would always be a team like that. It was just like the odds on unstoppable favorite. And I feel like there's more parity in the modern universe. And this team feels like a for real old school unstoppable juggernaut. Their defense is good. Their offense is completely amazing. They're making good play calls. They've got the spirit about them. They've got superstars on both sides of the ball. Josh Allen's probably the best quarterback in the NFL right now. And he's got this sort of je ne sais quoi. He's awesome. Kudos to the Bills. They look like they're the real deal. They're fun to watch.
There is a lot of talent. How were if they were allowed to have Von Miller, just like the Rams were allowed to have Von Miller last year? It was like, it's not fair that they get Von Miller.
I agree. I have the same thing about the Rams. There's a few of these teams that just seem to pull money out of their ass and add superstars, even like mid-season sometimes.
While the Falcons are sitting on $46 million of rotten eggs.
Right.
They can just go out and sign Von Miller and Odell Beckham and go to the Super Bowl.
Ugh, it's crazy.
But the Bills are unbelievable.
They're paying for a guy to play on another team, and he's not even good enough to play on that team this year.
It's not even fair. It seems like we're playing two different games.
But here's the hope. The Falcons are actually making the decision to spend all that dead cap money this year instead of kick it down the road for another 4 years, a little bit here, a little bit there. They're finally like, no, we're eating it now.
Yeah.
And then maybe next year we can get a Von Miller out of the blue for no reason because we want to.
Anyway, the Bills look great. They are fully deserving, and I'm sure they will get their kudos again before the year's out. Stephon Diggs is doing wonders for my fantasy team.
Yes.
I won't say what my fantasy team's called because I did want to – okay, so Bills get your kudos. I have my kudos split three ways, but it starts with put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
What?
Who was the last running back to win the most valuable player award in the NFL?
Huh. That's a fun game. We have a quiz time segment coming up.
I know, but I'm throwing this one in because it goes with my kudos.
Okay. So usually it's a quarterback.
It's almost always a quarterback for the last 20 years.
Who's the most recent superstar? I'm going to say, I've got Adrian Peterson in my head, and I've got LaDainian Tomlinson in my head. Am I in the right universe here?
They both won MVPs, and Adrian was the last one in 2012.
Oh, wow. Hey, look at me.
Well done. So I'm going to take my kudos, and I'm going to split them three ways between three running backs.
Okay.
One, Kamara. 62 rushing yards and a touchdown, 96 receiving yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, he looked like the real old Kamara this week. Finally. Against
what may be one of the worst teams. I think we really overrated the Raiders going into this season. They are.
I didn't. I have a running bet with my DJ in Albuquerque. He said they were going to be they were going to win this division. I was like, first of all, this is one of the best divisions in the history of the NFL, and they're easily the fourth best team in it. And so we settled on if they finish in the top two in the division, he wins. there's just no chance. I'm definitely winning this one.
I'm not putting Denver up on any pedestals either.
No, Denver sucks, but they're so much better than the Raiders, and they're the third best team in the division.
Okay, my second of my three-pronged running back kudos.
Yep.
And as I have to almost kind of suck it up and hold the vomit down a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Tony Pollard of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, he looks good.
I mean, we don't even allow our teams to have Cowboys on them in our fantasy league.
That's right. So if there were any other owner, it would be obvious to the owner that you start a different running back going forward. But
Tony Pollard is a machine. He flies through the line. He flies up the sidelines. He's so much better than Ezekiel Elliott.
He's quietly been great. Fantasy nerds have been rooting for Zeke to get out of the way for 2 years now. So, yeah, he's quietly been great for a while.
Three touchdowns for him, too.
Yep.
And to round out the 3-3-3,
I know
Christian McCaffrey with a passing touchdown, a receiving touchdown, and a rushing touchdown in the game.
Right.
What a fantasy stallion. I believe he used to be on your team, didn't he, Kostaki?
He did. I traded him away.
That's a good move.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of downtime, though, and he will continue to have a lot of downtime because he plays with this reckless abandon that is going to get him hurt every single week.
Yeah.
How much pain he wants to play in is the issue.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, let's do a few plugs and we'll get on to another segment here. I got some great gigs coming up. Farmington and Albuquerque this weekend. New Mexico bound, baby, and I'm driving. It's going to be an old school adventure to just drive all day.
Say hey to Shiprock for me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We've had some good times out that way. Farmington's been so good to me. It makes no sense. That is an interesting place. It's I wouldn't pick there to live either, if I'm being honest with you. A lot of strip malls and oil working, and it's a gritty place. And
for a good place to come out and laugh.
For whatever reason, that show has always been fun. There's some hardcore Bob and Tom fans in that part of the world. And the bar is at the airport. Have you ever even heard of that? You don't go through security, but it's at the airport. And it's the neighborhood bar. Like most of the people who are in there are not going to the airport. It makes no sense. And it's awesome. All right. Sioux Falls coming up. Nevada, Iowa. I just confirmed I'm doing Watertown. Help me, Glenn. Waterford. Michigan, suburban Detroit. And then I'm doing Acme for New Year's week in Minneapolis. I'm very excited about that. And then I got some cool Indiana stuff coming up. I'm doing Terre Haute on the other side in 2023. Yeah, a couple of other Indiana gigs that elude me. Anyway, go to Kostocki.com and find all that stuff. Get a shirt, all pro line shirts. My buddy Heather just sent me a picture of her wearing her shirt. She looks great in it. She went with the vintage green. Good choice. I also recommend the Heather Red. Glenn and I each have one of those.
I didn't wear it this time. I know.
I had the same thing. I wanted to go Halloween. I'm seasonal AF over here. Your dad's having a birthday. You don't know what to get dad. Spend a few bucks, and it's very few. You'd be surprised how little the number is. And have me roast his favorite NFL team and wish him a happy birthday on Cameo. That's what you do. Then it's fun, and it's memorable, and it's cheap, and it's easy. You don't have to go buy anything that he doesn't want. Okay.
Stocky's your dad's favorite comedian. Come on.
That's right. How many beautiful women want to tell me that after the show? My dad loves you. Monkey Knife Fight. Come join us, Monkey Knife Fight. Prop bets, they're fun. You bet on this and a little bit of this and you over and under this and not this. It's not fantasy and it's not traditional sports betting. It's all the weird prop stuff, and it's super easy to do. And if you use the code ALLPROLINES, they'll throw in an extra 100% bonus match up to $100. So that's nice. That's what you want to do. All right, let's go do another one of our little segments.
But now it's time for which comes first. Oh, yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens? It's time for which comes first.
I remember sitting in Key West recording that over and over and over again, trying to hit them just right. And finally, Aaron was just like, let's just leave it.
That's a great image. Did you get it right? It's the pregnant pause. I think it's just right. It took me a while.
I think it's my trademark. It's a trademark thing.
Yeah. I warmed up to it.
Don't mess with the gene.
I love it. It's beautiful. Okay. This one's simple. We'll do it quick and we'll get on to some quizzes. Falcons playoff win or Buccaneers playoff win? Which comes first, Glenn? Will either one of those happen this year is the first wave of the questions.
The Falcons are not going to win a playoff game. They might make a playoff game. Brady, if he makes a playoff game, has every chance in the world of winning the playoff game. So
I agree with everything you've said so far. So?
I'm going to go with the Bucs.
I'm going to go the other way. I'll be contrarian on this one because I think you're right. If the Buccaneers get into the playoffs, they have a good chance of winning one. But I think there's a chance they're done. I think that if they
very well could go 6-11.
If they flounder around like they've been floundering around, they ain't making the playoffs. And even if they do, they could easily lose that one. And I think the Falcons are going to have $40 million extra next year and a coach that's sort of reinvigorated the team and maybe a new quarterback. I say Falcons because the Bucs are going to suck next year when Brady's gone and whatever. I think.
Why would he be gone?
Because he's not good at football. What's he got to do? He's 45. He's got a giant contract. He's going to announce teams. He's going to be the next Tony Romo everybody loves.
If only he was attractive, he might have a chance.
He's going to be like Joe Montana. He's going to be around for 50 years doing commercials. He's never going to go away, this fucking
guy. All right, I'll still take him for this year. I will not put that bet into next year.
All right, kids. Put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
All right. Some of these you might know. Some of these you might have actually didn't know, but you heard them in some of the media this week, and that's okay. We'll just use that as a jumping off point to talk. So McCaffrey passing, receiving, and rushing touchdowns in the same game. Last player to do that. Did you happen to see it?
I remember seeing it, but I had had a couple of beers by that time.
2005. Passing, receiving,
and rushing. Thomason.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, point. Okay. Now we're going deeper. Only two other players since the merger have done this. Who were those two guys?
Got to be running backs, right? Maybe a wide receiver.
I'm going to tell you the facts. It's one of each.
All right.
Which is kind of weird that there's a receiver who did this. That one's obscure, but the running back you could get.
I was going to guess like a Tony Dorsett, Franco Harris kind of somebody. And I mean, Jim Brown?
Well, a little more modern. Okay. Old school, but not that old.
Franco Harris era?
Yeah, that's the right universe.
A Dolphin.
No, a little newer. Maybe I'm saying yes to Franco Harris and getting the time screwed up. A little newer than that. Like our youth.
All right. Bubba Bean.
Sweetness.
Walter Payton, I saw it. Of course. Yes, I can see him throwing the ball too.
And the
talent in the world. All the talent that ever was.
Yeah, he was great. The fourth one is super obscure, but I do remember this game for some reason. It might have been at the beginning of fantasy for me, and I remember this guy had like the most ridiculous game of his life. David Patton for the Patriots.
Wow.
Remember him?
Yeah, vaguely. I remember kind of tossing him on and off my fantasy team.
That's right. He wasn't really a superstar, but he had one hell of a day.
One day.
Like
Flipper Anderson.
It all fell together. All right, but we did some jokes about Barry Sanders. He played for 10 years. How many of those seasons did he eclipse 1,000 yards rushing? Well, 89 through 98.
Seems obvious to say 10 out of 10, so I'm going to say 9 out of 10.
The answer is 10 out of 10.
Outsmarted myself.
That's amazing. And that doesn't even count receiving yards.
At least one of them was 2,000, wasn't it?
Boy, I don't know the answer to that. Maybe. He definitely was. Where do you put him if you're ranking him all time?
I mean, as far as the guy on the field that you don't want to tackle at his prime, I mean, yeah. Earl Campbell was scarier.
But it's a different thing.
Barry Sanders.
Category. Yeah.
Yes. Barry Sanders will slip and slide and you will not even touch him.
You won't touch him. Right.
And Peyton had those two things together.
And Earl will touch you. That's no good. Yes. Either.
Earl will shove your face into the dirt.
You never want a guy named Earl to touch you. That's a good rule of thumb.
I mean, I was watching those Derrick Henry highlights this weekend too. He is a beast. He is a force unto himself.
Good segue. Derrick Henry had a 200-yard rushing game, which makes six games like that on his career, which ties him first all time with two other running backs.
Eric Dickerson.
Oh, that's a good guess. No. Ah. Six 200-yard rushing games. That's not Barry combined Sanders. Yardage. That's just the rushing part. Not Barry Sanders.
Walter Payton.
Nope.
God damn it. Narrow it down. Our youth, our adulthood.
One of them was 10-ish years ago, and one was our very early youth. That's right. Adrian Peterson.
He's got a lot of them records.
Yeah.
Six 200-yard games. Not Eric Dickerson. No. It's got to be Emmitt Smith.
Oh, that's a good – that's the guess I had when I saw this. When I started reading this stat because I was like, oh, I want to use it. I bet it's Emmitt Smith. Nope. Further back. I'm trying to think of a hint that doesn't completely give it away.
Jimmy Dorsett.
No. Buffalo Bills.
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson.
Cut to –
yeah, it's an interesting group to be a part of. Derrick Henry, Adrian Peterson, and O.J. Simpson.
Goodness Six 200-yard games. He was really good before he started killing the people.
Yeah, he's really good. That's why they let him kill people, I think. If you're really good at something, they let you get away with.
Well, apparently the NFL running back has always been a little more on the lenient side. Looking at you, Ray Rice.
All right, one last little quiz question for you. Who leads the NFL right now in total QBR? 11-2 over his last 13 starts. This one shocked me.
Kirk Cousins.
Halfway through. Oh, that's a good shocking guess. Nope.
Yes. So it's not Josh Allen. It's not Patrick Mahomes. It's not Aaron Rodgers.
Nope. It's definitely not Aaron Rodgers.
Daniel Jones. Football. Jalen Hurts.
Nope.
It's got to be somebody that's winning. Lamar?
It's someone who broke your heart in college.
Dan Marino.
What?
Oh, that was 1981.
It's someone who broke your heart in college 5 years ago.
Okay. Four. Oh, Tua?
Tua has the best QBR right now. What the hell?
What?
I know. It makes no sense in my brain.
He's been halfway dead for two of the last 4 weeks.
I know. Well, they don't count you not playing. You know, they.
You don't rack up any ranking when you're flat on your back and you don't know what world you're in.
Concussed. Right. As long as you're good when you're playing, that's how they count. I know. He's got two of the best receivers, but still, I didn't think he was. I didn't buy it. That was another trade I made this year. I traded Tyreek Hill away for this would be good if I knew the man's name. The second Bengals receiver.
Oh, not Jamar, but the other one.
Why am I stuck on that?
And the one and before Boyd, the other Louisiana guy.
What in the hell is the matter with my brain? Okay, I'm going to look it up because I'm embarrassed. Give me a sec. T. Higgins. Because I thought my team, this wasn't the year. So you trade away the guy who's hot now and get the guy who's going to be hot for several years, right? Plus, I wasn't sold on the Tua thing. I thought this whole thing could implode.
Well, Tua throws a lot of balls shorter than they need to go. And Tyreek seems to be really good at stopping on the pattern and turning around and going back and grabbing those when he doesn't get called for interference on or, you know, interference called against him.
Tyreek is so good. I just didn't know for sure if it was going to translate to this season with Tua and the new team and the whole thing. And
well, I'm not sold on that team at all. I mean, I don't see them. They're not going to the playoffs for sure.
What?
They're 5-3.
They're at least twice as good as the Falcons are.
Who else is 5-3? The New York Jets. Did you see those highlights?
Yeah.
Did you see Zach Wilson collapse? They look great in black, by the way. I love that black uniform.
I like it too. I like the black helmet.
Zach looks a little weak as he's trying to throw the ball away and throws it an interception on the sideline.
Yeah, he had a couple of very embarrassing interceptions. Yeah, I agree. Every team should have a black helmet. The Cardinals helmets with the black and the black shirt look cool too.
Well,
and the Bears have gone the other way. They got their wacky orange helmet.
I don't know about them orange ones. That is a lot.
2 weeks in a row with the crazy. You look like a construction barrel out there. What are you doing?
And what was Dallas doing choosing to play in their blue? That was weird.
Yeah, they're weird. Yeah. They're weird.
They look good.
Yeah, every team should have a black helmet. I want to see even the teams that doesn't make any sense. They should force it once and see what it looks like.
Cowboys.
Like the Dolphins. Yeah, that would be preposterous.
The Dolphins would be rough.
I want to see a black alternate Dolphins uniform.
Black Patriots would be good.
All right. I want to see all of them.
Yeah, what maybe with that old snapping the ball Patriot guy.
You're right. Like Cowboys and Packers, it would just seem like sacrilege. But it would look like a crazy Oregon game. But I'd like to see it once.
Or Georgia Boise State. Remember that thing in the Georgia Dome when Georgia was in the silver and the half silver helmets, and Boise State had the big giant horse on theirs. And
I don't remember that.
It was the worst uniform ever. It was all silver. Helmet all the way down through jersey, and Andreas remembers it, I'm sure.
Oh my goodness,
it was horrible.
So they've gone away from that.
We had that color rush period.
Experiment briefly, and then they're like, "No, we're traditional kind of thing, and we're never going to out Oregon. Let's just do us, right?"
Yeah. I want to throw in another kudo that I forgot. DeAndre Hopkins was a very pleasant return to my deep roster this weekend.
Your team looks good, man. I hope you win it all with Evans. If it's not me, your team's fun to root for. You got a lot of stars.
And on that, in that Arizona-Minnesota game, which was a good game, there was a punt return that the guy just let go right through his hands, and it went right between his legs. He had it between his legs, and then he's just descended upon by the kicking team. They're just smashing his head this way, his body this way, his twisting. Can you do anything you want to do during a fumble? Are there any penalties ever called during a fumble? Because they could have ripped his legs off, and it didn't seem like it would have made any difference.
I think once you're not in the whatever it is, the halo, if you give him a chance to try to catch it,
I'm talking about whenever the ball is on the ground and it is loose, is there ever a penalty called? Can you rip somebody's helmet off by the face mask?
I mean, can you just pull him away from the ball?
Yeah, they're dragging him, they're pushing, slamming him, get him away from the ball. Somebody else is jumping on the ball. I don't know. I think there's got to be some kind of rule, but it doesn't seem like anything is ever called. I mean, can you just kick them in the balls and just like gouge their eyeballs out?
It's funny to me that we've always accepted like the once there's a pile, like whatever happens under there is totally acceptable behavior. It's like we don't know who's going to come out with the ball. Like you can't figure out who had the ball when the pile started.
Have you ever seen a penalty called after a fumble? It was like during the fumble, that guy ripped his whole head off.
No, that's a good point. I don't think I ever have.
So I would like some clarification on that. Maybe we can get something from the peanut gallery on whether there's any kind of rule at all.
By the way, Jerry chimed in and said, could you guys look any more single with your backdrops?
It's my Ecuador.
You got an Ecuadorian. What's not a flag? What is that? A tapestry?
Yeah. Let me show you downtown Asheville.
All right.
That's nice. The view out my window now.
I want to come hang out there. We'll go drink beers.
It's awesome. It's a little chilly for you, but we get used to it. It's not Key West.
I forgot that. How chilly is it?
It is today is like a high in the mid 60s.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, but that's a warm day.
It's early yet. Yeah, right. All right. Well, I'm gonna go get my shit together.
And yeah, we gotta go get some candy.
Gotta take a 4-year-old trick or treating and hang briefly with a 14-year-old who would then want to move on without me. That's how life goes, turns out.
They like chocolate. Keep her getting that chocolate.
Okay. All right. Don't forget the gigs, shirts, cameo, monkey knife fight. Join us on the social media platforms. Help us write some jokes. We do caption contests, whatever. Share stuff. Share the word. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We love you. Thank you, Glenn. Always good to talk to you, man.
Love you, man.
Take it easy, guys.
See y'all, Pro Lines World.
Da 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 da.